Shook with an
Tante.
I know how to guy.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Tante, I'm Michael Hutchinson, your host for the Cree episodes of Words and Culture. Now, most often when I hear Cree being sung, it is during a powwow. For me, hearing powwow music causes the hairs on my arms to stand on end. It's like an electricity that just flows through me. This is intensified when it is Cree that is being sung. We have a recording of my late grandmother, Angelique Cook, singing in Cree, and I can't listen to it without tears coming to my eyes. So, hearing Cree in song for sure has an impact. This week, I'm in conversation with singer-songwriter Adrian Sutherland. Adrian is a citizen of the Attawapiskat First Nation along the shores of James Bay in northwestern Ontario. But Adrian is not only a musician. He is a respected cultural leader, a traditional knowledge keeper, and he's fluent in Omoshkegowak Cree, also known as James Bay Cree. I asked him to share a bit of what life is like in the remote community of Attawapiskat and how he came to learn his language.
Well, these days I'm quite busy. I have a family and I also have six grandkids, so I'm always running around and doing a lot of different things. And it seems to be working out for me so far. I grew up here. I'm from the Attawapiskat First Nation, and I was raised by the Cree way. Spent most of my time with my grandparents as a boy growing up, and a lot of emphasis on hunting and it's really subsistence type of living. Growing up here, we had no running water. We ran on a generator for many years. Things have slowly started to change in recent years, thankfully. I still really enjoy the Cree culture, the Cree traditions, and this is why I choose to be up here where I'm living now, and I chose to raise my family up here. And, I make music from my home, from my home studio, and, I've been traveling around and been fortunate enough to be able to perform and share my music with as many people around the world as possible. As early as I can remember, that's all I was speaking, like, was Cree. My grandparents spoke no English. It was all Cree, and most of our parents were all just Cree-speaking. And, of course, they knew English from being in the residential schools. And the only English that we were speaking as young boys and growing up in grade school was really just in school, and it was, like, very little. Like, we weren't speaking very much at all. So I learned Cree. It's my first language. English is actually a second language for me. And I believe it's because we're so far north. A lot of, I think, far north bands are really, isolated and sort of cut off in many ways from the rest of the world. And I know the language retention is quite strong in a lot of the far north reserves. So I think that's part of what one reason why I've been able to hang on and retain my language, which is pretty fortunate.
Yeah, I work for an education authority now, and every once in a while I get to travel up north, and it is just so uplifting to go into communities where the kids are just speaking their language, as a matter of course, and it's not something that they put on or something. That's what they speak, and it's good to see. So is that, in Attawapiskat, is it still strong? Like, there's more TV channels than we were kids. There's video games now, movies. Is the language still strong in Attawapiskat?
Yeah, I would say the language is still strong. Like, my children now are struggling with the language, though, because there's social media. I think when all that sort of came into the picture for a lot of especially a lot of our young people, I think there's a lot more distractions for them. It kind of pulling them away from learning language, pulling them away from the land, pulling them away from those types of Cree cultural practices, I think has a lot to do with the reason why the language is not they're not really catching on with the language, these young kids. And I think the other issue is we're supposed to be full Cree immersion in our education, our schools here, but they don't have. They only get about an hour of Cree every day, which is, to me, it's kind of mind-boggling why they don't have the full Cree immersion, especially for the younger grades. Mm-hmm. And we have Keshechewan, which is a neighboring community, literally an hour and a half drive down the ice road south of us, and everyone speaks Cree. All the kids, every age, all Cree speaking, and it's because they have full Cree immersion in their school. I think mm-hmm. that's a big part of why all those little kids, like little, you know, 4 or 5 year olds, are all just, you know, stringing words together. Like, they're very fluent in their language, and I think it has a lot to do with the Cree immersion versus the non-Cree immersion between the differences in the two communities.
Do you speak Cree to your kids and grandkids in the home?
Yeah, I speak Cree. My grandson, I've had my grandson since he was born. He's 5 now, and the first 3-4 years, we were speaking Cree to him only. And you know, as he got older, he starts to use English more, but he uses Cree too. He does say Cree words. He copies everything I say. So he's definitely catching on to the Cree, and he's asking me to make sure that I speak Cree to him all the time. And my son, my youngest boy, is 17, and he's expressing a lot of interest in wanting to learn more Cree. So I speak Cree to them all the time, and when they don't understand me, I have to, you know, interpret, you know, what I'm trying to say, just so they're getting it. So yeah, they're learning, but they're not where I'd like them to be, and that's one thing I think as a parent, you want your children to speak Cree, because I know how important language is for our people, and for me, I wouldn't know where I'd be without my language, and so I want to make sure my kids are able to speak it.
Yeah. Well, to tell you a little bit about me, you know, my mom didn't teach me Cree, and she went to residential school, and she lived in sort of racist northern Manitoba in a hydro town, and this may have influenced her attitude. And so when I asked her, "Mom, why didn't you teach me Cree? It's my greatest embarrassment in my life," she said, because if you had a bush accent, you wouldn't be able to get a job, you know, and she did live in a hydro town that was very anti-native. You don't seem to have an accent at all. Did you work at that, or is that something that just, you know, as you were taught English, you were just taught English without an accent, or how did that work for you?
Well, I worked at it pretty hard. Like, when I went to high school, I had a hard time with English, but I made friends quickly because I joined the wrestling team. And I had 30 other wrestlers that, you know, I hung out with every day, you know, from right after school till about 9 o'clock at night throughout my whole high school years. So I think that was part of where I was able to catch the lingo a lot quicker, was hanging around with, you know, all the wrestling members, the team members. And my English, I think, really improved there, but it still wasn't good. I had to get a lot of, like, tutoring in college when I took my college program, for all my communications, because my English grammar was really, really bad, and I didn't know anything about APA, you know, all that stuff. I had to get lots of help with for communications, but I managed to get by, and I scraped by with a 60 in my communications courses. But you know, you wouldn't know that I'm English is a second language, and you don't. Sometimes you might hear a little bit of an accent, but you know, I think I hide it well, and I try to kind of use my different voice for you know, this kind of stuff.
How do you think being raised in Cree, you know, influenced your worldview?
Well, I think it influenced my worldview in many different ways. And there's no words to express certain words in Cree or meaning in Cree, or one word in Cree would take several, you know, English words to explain what we mean. So when we say Mukushewan, that one word has to and you translate that into English, you have to, you know, explain, you know, everything what that word means. Otherwise, people don't really get it right in English. So I think that really has shaped, you know, me in some ways, and it also makes us unique, you know, as language speakers, to be able to call ourselves unique Canadians because of the language that we, you know, we're able to carry. I mean, it's part of our identity and who we are. And so I think for me, I think it's helped guide me through a lot of difficult situations, you know, a lot of difficult decision making. I've always turned to my language, I've always turned to my culture, and those are the two things I've always tried to draw on for decision making and other things in life. Yeah, I mean, even just when talking normal lingo, like in Cree, you know, our language is said to be like a prayer language. Nihuan is like a natural language, which is like a prayer language, they say. When we talk to God, when we talk to our, say, our father, and our, it's like when we say Nootawi, it's the same thing in, as you pray to the Creator, right? So there's those languages are connected to a lot of spiritual things as well. Even when we say Nigawi, my mom, we're referring to that earth too, the Mother Earth. So it's a, there's a lot of words that certainly kind of are spiritual. There are very strong spiritual meanings behind some of the words.
It's very true that you know, the worldview and the relationship between everything comes out in the language. I'm speaking with Cree singer-songwriter Adrian Sutherland. His home community is the Attawapiskat First Nation, and he finds inspiration there for his songwriting. He also finds it in family. This is his song about his father, or Nootawi. Hey, my God. Brian Sutherland, my guest this week. Now, if you've been listening to Words and Culture, you know we've been discussing the different dialects of Cree. I asked Adrian to explain how Omoshkegowuk differs from other dialects.
I think the biggest difference is, well, we use the N dialect, which so when we say no, we'll say mona. So the other thing is that we mix a lot of Anishinaabe or Ojibwe in the language. So we'll be speaking Cree, all of a sudden we'll flip it around. If you're Plains Cree, you'll be catching everything in Cree, then all of a sudden we flip it and we use like Bitamaga Nagin, which is an Ojibwe expression. We flip it and kind of throw other Cree dialect speakers off. But so the reason why we have the both languages are kind of mixed in with each other like that is because of the overlap in the intermarriages between our communities here on the coast, Umishkegwak Cree, and the Anishinaabe people west of us in the northwestern Ontario Ojibwe reserves. So a lot of overlap in territory and a lot of intermarriages between the two, so the languages kind of got, you know, meshed together. And I notice that some people can turn it off and speak mostly Cree, and then some people can turn the Cree off and speak more Ojibwe. I'm not saying it's better than any other language, but it kind of gives you a little bit of an expanded vocabulary to be able to understand both Cree and Ojibwe, which are very similar anyway to begin with. But if you have sort of both, a fairly good grasp of both languages, you'll be able to understand, you know, most of the languages on both sides.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, that history between the Cree and the Anishinaabe, because, you know, obviously the Cree have a reputation of being great lovers.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you know, when it comes to your musical career, you perform mostly in English, but you've recently started recording songs in Cree. You know, what inspired you to make that switch?
I always wanted to write music in Cree, but I've tried over the years different things and different experimenting with different, you know, types of songs, and I always found it very difficult, believe it or not. I found it very hard for me to write in Cree, so I've always kind of steered away from it all these years. But this time around, on the most recent album that I recorded, I decided that I was going to try to, at least, I wanted to write an entire album, but I got to, you know, maybe 3-4 songs, and two of them we were able to finish up and get on the album. And I'm glad I did that, but I honestly had a difficult time because it's so different to sing in a language, I find, and there's a lot of, the sounds that come out differently, and, you know, when you have to enunciate, and so when you sing these sounds, they come out a little bit more, I find, are a little bit more harsh, for me anyway. And so I had a little bit of a challenge, you know, singing some of the words, but after I sat with the songs for a little while and kind of, you know, sang and over and over and over, I started to feel a lot more comfortable. And I really am proud of, you know, those two Cree songs I was able to get recorded, because they're beautiful songs. And Nutawi, you know, it's an emotional, heavy song. But at the same time, I think the biggest thing for me was, in the back of my mind, it was always about using the language, you know, and what sets me apart from all the other artists. What can I do to set me apart from other, that's going to make me unique as an artist? And I think I have to draw on all these different things. So language is one, being able to use my language and put it in music, and not only that, but to help kind of do my part in preserving our language, you know, as a speaker, I think is also very important for me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. You know, just to clarify for myself, like, you know, obviously when you hear Cree sung mostly, it's sort of like in powwow music or in ceremony. But, you know, obviously English music or music that comes out of Europe is different when I'm talking to music itself. So is that what you're talking about when the difficulty is mixing that Cree, I guess, the language and how it's usually sang into European musical notes and flow? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, definitely. I know in our traditional singing, like powwow and ceremonial practices, the singing is different, and it has a certain structure to it. You know, it's quite similar. You know, in all of our traditional singers are quite similar in the way they sing. And then, of course, European or our music that we hear out today, like pop and different, all the different genres, it's more melodic, you know, and it's more playing on the beauty of your voice, or using, you know, trying to make all these different wonderful sounds. And I think sometimes it's hard. I find it hard to even do that. But yeah, I definitely found it. When I was singing the Cree, I kind of kept gravitating towards like all the Cree hymn or the gospel singers that I grew up hearing, and all my uncles and all them that played, you know, it was all sort of kind of taking me down that path. And I didn't want to go there too much, but I also wanted to put little hints of that in there, because I know a lot of the communities have a sort of similar taste when it comes to that kind of music, especially in the language. It reminds them of something. And for me, it always triggers my grandparents, memories of my grandparents, my, you know, my parents, my uncles, or whatever people that have left now. And growing up, and we would wake up to Cree hymn every morning. Every morning we'd wake up to Cree hymn, and we'd be hearing, you know, grandparents praying in the home. So those are the kinds of things. I try to put those little things in the Cree song. So, because I know people, there's a lot of other people out there like me that, when they hear Cree hymn, they want to cry, or they'd get emotional, because it reminds them of their, you know, grandparents and the old people that have sort of left and passed on now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we have a recording of my grandmother singing in Cree, and I have to admit, it's hard for me to listen to it without getting all verklempt. Okay. So how have your Cree songs been received from your audience?
You know what? No, that way, when we released that, it was more of just like a soft launch. We weren't thinking like, ooh, we're going to get all these, you know, big reception for it or anything like that. But so we put it out as just for me, for songs that I really loved, and it was for people that were, you know, obviously lost their father. But I mean, anyone who's lost a family member or somebody they care about deeply can really relate to this song. Like it made me really happy to get it out and just get it to people, especially Cree speaking. And I tried to use words that were more generic in all the dialects, so that everyone could get it right away. And it went right across the country to all the Cree-speaking, not only Cree-speaking, but Anishinaabemowin communities as well. I think we're receiving it really well. And everyone just absolutely loved it. And I think it got hit, like to date, it's probably had the most success of any other song I might have put out. And it just all organically, you know, kind of happened. So I'm really happy with that. And I'm glad people are loving it.
I've been watching your career over the years, and you know, I'm happy to see your success, and it's really good to see. Well, you know, there's two segments that we have in each show. One is a song, and we're going to play Note the Way in a little bit. But one of the other things we always do is we get the Cree speaker to teach me some words in Cree that come from their dialect. Maybe you could tell us, what does Note the Way mean?
Nohtawi is my father, but it also can mean like creator, right? Those are two meanings behind the word. So it means my father.
Okay. Another word that you mentioned was Mokasheowin. Can you tell us what that one means?
Mokasheowin, like, it's like feast.
Mokasheowin. Okay.
And Mokasheowin is like when you feast for something. And again, it's a feast or for celebrations, you know, whether we're celebrating a very important cultural practice. So we'll have these feasts that are tied to our fasting ceremonies, our sweat lodges, that are tied to even New Year's, the birth of Wisakhichach, which is our, you know, our teacher, which our people believe is the equivalent to Jesus, right? But sent to our people. So we have all these things that we that are connected to that Mokasheowin. So when you say Mokasheowin, okay, well what kind of feast are we doing here? And you have to, you know, get into all the details from there.
All right. Just one word I'd like you to teach me is, what is the Cree word for music? And can you maybe take it apart for us? Where does it come from?
Oh, well, I always say, I'm either going to say I'm singing, or I'm Gitoshchigeo, which means music, like you creating some racket or you're creating noise. Gitoshchigeo is basically means you're doing the music, you're singing and playing as something at the same time, like an instrument. So that's how I would probably say Gitoshchigeo. That's like third person. Kitoshtagan, I'm playing. And if you're going to invite a bunch of people, you're going to say Kitoshtagich. So you add in the yik at the end there, that sound.
Okay. Kitoshtagich. Kitoshtagich. Is that what? Try it again. Let me say it again.
Kitoshtagil is third person. So if I'm talking to my friend about Mike is playing music, he says, if you ask me, where's Mike? Oh, Mike. Kitoshtagil Mike, I'll say. He's playing music. You know, if I'm going to say I'm playing music, you add the N at the end of the Kitoshtagan, right? Okay. And if more than one is Kitoshtagich, right? Or Kitoshtagek, you would say that.
Kitoshtagek.
Yeah.
Getting there.
Get up there and play. Kitoshtagek. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Mike. It's good to see you again. And I would leave you with a message in Cree, I guess, since we were talking about Cree. Miigwech, miswegi noga bihtuiga gnanasko mitanao nishta bukusenden jiminubunik nishta gichigiminamatisik jimigwech. I said hello to everyone, Wachie, which is our greeting to everyone. And I said thank you to everyone as well for healing and for listening. And also, I wish you all good health for you and your loved ones. And I said miigwech at the end, like, thank you again.
That was Adrian Sutherland, who is a musician, language speaker, and knowledge keeper from the Attawapiskat First Nation in Northern Ontario. It is super cool to hear from someone closer to my age who grew up speaking the language. I learned a lot from Adrian, and I'm sure he has much more to teach. On a future episode of Words and Culture, we're going to talk about the future of the Cree language, how it evolves to bring new concepts to life, and why kids are now saying, he shoots, he scores, in Cree. We're also going to visit with Cree mezzo-soprano Rhonda Head. This is Rhonda and her song, Waniska. Tuning into Words and Culture, remember to check out our website at wordsandculture.ca, where you can find language apps and start your own language journey. See you next time on Words and Culture. I'm Michael Hutchinson. Be well. Keep smiling.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi. Gigawabamin. Soko seni denit e. Minen yujihina.
Eko se.
Kakuuddao. We'll see you again.
Hi, my name is Taku. I want to say shout out to all the raccoons on campus. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby.